This is Sports Jam, and I'm Doug Doyle. We learned about DRL on Sports Jam back in January of 2016 when we talked to the founder, Nicholas Orbicheski. Now, 5 years later, the Drone Racing League has exploded. Amazing new heights when it comes to technology, skill, fans, and excitement. And someone who's bringing that excitement more than ever is the new president of the DRL, Rachel Jacobson, who became president in April of 2020. We know very well Middletown South High School is where you went to school before you went to Cornell. So as you have stated to me before we started, I'm a Jersey gal.
Yeah, I was so excited when you asked me to be part of this because I'm a born and bred Jersey girl. And really growing up, not only participating in sports, I was on the track team, head cheerleader. And then my dad realized when I hurt my knee running track and I was rehabbing that I had a good arm. And center fielder with a good arm could probably throw the javelin. Who knew? But Dad, thank you very much. So I started playing with that, and who knew I'd be throwing freshman year at Cornell. So yes, add throwing the javelin to that. So that was really my love of sports growing up as an athlete, but also my family was involved with thoroughbred racehorses. So I had interned 4 summers at Monmouth Park Racetrack.
One of my favorite spots is Monmouth Park Racetrack. You know, and people are going to know you don't mess with Rachel Jacobson because anyone who can throw the javelin, you don't mess with those people.
Well, I like to establish that early on because, you know, they may think 5 foot petite, but, you know, be careful.
You know, and we mentioned that Nicholas Orbicheski was our guest on Sports Jam, really introducing us to the whole DRL experience back then. He's also had some comments about you that I wanted to pass along. He says that Rachel Jacobson is tenacious, strategic, and laser focused on delivering return on investment for partners, and we're excited for her to join the league. How did you two meet? Now, I know you had, we'll get into your experience with the NBA and your other companies that you've dealt with, but where did this partnership develop?
Yeah, and Doug, I love that you and Nick spoke a few years ago about DRL. And now as we kind of look back at the past several years, just really poised for this meteoric growth. So Nick and I met in January, pre-pandemic. So that gets to the fun, you know, fun part of taking the job. And then 4 days later, the world shutting down and doing this 100% remote. But I had, as you mentioned, worked at the NBA right out of college. So 21 years, who thinks they stay at their first job, but I did. And the NBA is one of those organizations that not just can you circuitously move throughout the organization and still keep things fresh, but I had the incredible opportunity of working very closely with David Stern and Adam Silver and other of the executive leadership along my tenure of being there, and just to be able to work with those caliber of leaders that understand how important it is not only to progress your sport, but really how important it is to be, you know, impactful to communities and ensuring that, you know, you're doing the right thing at the core. So I grew up under that mantra of spending, you know, February's running around arenas for All-Star Weekend, every 4 years, you know, traveling with our Olympic teams and really going out and finding just the best companies in the world to partner with the NBA. So my bar was high in terms of, you know, just not just work ethic, but when Nick says about tenacious and laser focused, I didn't have a choice. You know, as David used to tell me is you're not authorized to accept a no. So I just had to figure out how to get to yes before I was reporting that news. But when I left the MBA after 21 years, it was really, you know, about doing something entrepreneurial. You know, I had had this amazing first chapter, and while I love sports and, you know, that will forever be a part of my life that has changed my career trajectory. I wanted to do something different and jump off a cliff and be employee number four. And that's what I did. And I joined an HR tech company that was all about investing in women and diverse groups. Really, Doug, before the last several years of the movement around diversity and inclusion, I had always been a fierce advocate for not just women in the workforce, but I would always find underrepresented talent and felt like if you were only surrounding yourself with the same like-minded people, it really wasn't bringing the best ideas to light and having that diversity of thought. So I got to land it as employee number four. And it was an incredible run. They're an unbelievable company that, again, just was well before its time of how do you personalize and really democratize career success and ensure that everyone at all stages of your career has access to those in the C-suite, an executive coach, the right training, you know, everything from presentation skills to negotiation, you know, all these areas that not everyone gets that playbook on. And then this came to me. So again, humming along at Landit, everything's going great, bringing in companies, closing a Series A. And I was presented with this opportunity from actually a women-owned recruiting firm, Michelle James, James & Co. She couldn't touch me when I was at the MBA because she had a, you know, relationship with the MBA, and I couldn't get poached over there, but she called me up and said, you know, I want to catch up with you. And I thought it was a very innocent, you know, catch up. And next thing I know, I was sitting across the table from her and she said, you're going to be the next president of the Drone Racing League. And
no, she had been thinking about this for quite a while, hadn't she?
I think, listen, she was very bold. She was very direct. And I have 11-year-old boy-girl twins. So, you know, I knew enough to be dangerous about technology, and drones in particular has been all the rage. Drones are in the Super Bowl. Amazon's thinking about delivery with drones. So they're definitely, you know, when you think about these technology and innovative pieces in our history right now that are progressing, I knew, again, enough to be dangerous. And I took a meeting with Nick. He knows, no expectations with this meeting. And we then sat across the table and Nick shared with me where he was 5 years ago, the vision for this sport, all they had accomplished, and he had me at hello. So, you know, it was drawn out a little bit, but I knew that I could be transformative for this sport. It's everything I love. I knew, you know, David had told me in the back of his mind, unfortunately, before he passed, and we had always remained very close when I left the NBA, and he did as well, where, you know, he had been investing in so many technology companies when he left being commissioner of the NBA. And we met up in the fall, actually in November of 2019, a normal check-in every couple months, how's the family? And we were just talking about, you know, my career, and he saw that sparkle that I got with sports and with entertainment. And he said, there's so much going on in the industry, even when you left 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when you head back there, you should think about something with technology and entertainment that really intersects all of these key areas. So when I took the job, what made me so happy is I know David would be very proud of this. And I wasn't going to let Nick down. So when he mapped out for me, Doug, you know, everything they had accomplished, which was incredible, but then also like what was on the horizon and what he wanted to achieve in the next several years, I will stop at nothing, to make sure that we reach those heights. Because that's just how I'm wired.
That's the tenacity that Nick was talking about with you. But, you know, if you think about it, then David Stern, who was always, you know, has been given so much credit for expanding the NBA during his tenure, before he passed, as you mentioned, it was 2019 that he knew technology and Rachel Jacobson and sports could come together. So that was almost like prophetic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely was. And, you know, even during the most challenging of times this year, when I took the job, like I said, you know, Nick and I were in the city, I think it was March 11th, you know, finalizing everything. And then literally that Saturday, the world shut down, and just meeting my entire team remote and making sure that I just had the conviction and unwavering support of everything that we are doing. You know, that has been my mission before COVID. We've had to pivot and, you know, do whatever we can to ensure that we are using these moments to get smarter about our fans, to figure out how we grow market share. And, you know, one of those areas is around how do we provide the most immersive and engaging opportunities for our fans. And when I knew back at the NBA in 2018, betting on sports was legalized, I knew this sport was tailor-made for that. And that's one of these areas where when we pivoted, because we knew we couldn't safely get back to arenas where we normally fly in the most iconic locations and stadiums, and, you know, we're flying around palaces in Europe. When we knew we couldn't safely get our operation there, we went to an all virtual season, and think of our pilots as digital gladiators and our sport becoming really the new playing field. We are allowing a sport to really bring in a technology audience and straddle the real and the virtual with live events and that esports vertical. So when we knew that we were doing all virtual, I'm like, we got to get betting up and running on this season as a live to air show. And that's really where, going back to my horse racing roots, you know, growing up around Monmouth Park, knowing how progressive New Jersey was, Dennis Drazen, and some other people that really led legislation to get green lit around sports betting. We kicked that into high gear, and in 51 days, we got our first state, Colorado, and then Tennessee and New Hampshire and New Jersey and West Virginia and now Illinois. And as states become legalized to bet, you know, we're going to get them all to ensure that no matter where you are in the world, you can bet on drone racing, because we know it's a different fan than the traditional stick and ball sports.
Yeah, let's talk about, first of all, the passion for sports betting is at an, you know, an ultimate peak right now. You see it on every game and on every network. You see the commercials. This partnership that you've developed, let's talk about how do people get information so they know how to make the right bet when it comes to the drone racing league?
So it's a great question, because that was exactly what we were thinking is, You maybe have grown up around baseball or some of the other well-tenured sports, but if you know nothing about drone racing, we want to ensure that, like, you can pick a winner. It's that easy. And we've been now on our plight to educate people about drone racing. You can know nothing and you can put down money and you can win on day one. So we're running pre-flight shows. Actually, on Twitter, we are streaming on DRL Bets before our championship races air. So leading up to that, we're bringing in the community. We have experts in the gaming space from our friends at DraftKings. We have our experts from DRL, our announcers and pilots. So we are educating people so they know what to look for. And you can go on your DraftKings app and you can look at right now, we're actually up before our next race on January 26th. And then our championship on January 30th, right now, if you get on DraftKings and you look up drone racing, you're going to see DRL and you can place your bets on any of our pilots that are racing.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the DRL DraftKings pre-flight show. I'm Rory McKernan, and we're just moments away from live DRL action on NBC, Twitter, and Facebook, where the top 12 DRL pilots in the world will take on Level 14, the U.S. Air Force Boneyard. 2020, the pandemic, it's created some changes to the DRL season, as you can imagine. First, we are competing completely virtually on the DRL sim. Second, the season structure has evolved, leading to the most exciting racing to date. The season consists of 16 levels of racing, each on a unique map in the DRL sim game. The pilots earn season points based on their overall level finish. The pilot with the most points after 16 levels is the 2020 DRL Allianz World Champion.
The pilots in DRL are spectacular and so skilled, to a point where I know it's a whole different technology, but some of them truly are professional pilots and even fly their own aircraft, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have PhDs, we have former vets, we have people that have absolutely no aviation background that trained on our DRL sim, and they were in our feeder system that ladders up to seats in our professional racing series. So they have very diverse backgrounds. And what I love about our sport is we're inspiring this next generation of, you know, kids and others that can do things in technology that they never thought was possible. And as you know, being a woman in sports, that hasn't been, you know, I may have been in a minority. When I think back to years ago, starting at the NBA, now sports continues to do a better job. But I looked at our pilots on day one and I saw 12 men. So Doug,
you're changing that, aren't you?
I am changing that up. So I will ensure, and right now we are getting women involved in DRL. We can train them because I want nothing else to be having you invite me back with our first ever female drone pilot that's going to fly in our championship race. So she is out there, and there's absolutely no reason that we don't inspire women and girls to start training on our DRL sim, because they can learn and fly and compete. We would be, you know, one of the only sports where there doesn't have to be a separate league. You know, they can compete shoulder to shoulder with the men because they will have all of the same skills.
And they could be a 5-foot female from Middletown, right? South High School, right?
That's right. Nick, I don't know if Nick wants me to leave my day job of being one of our...
But size does not matter.
Exactly. None of it matters.
It's a whole different skill set. But talk about the simulator. You know, you mentioned the sim. Talk about how that's used right now and how people learn from it and what's involved in it.
Yeah. So just, you know, actually dissimilar from other sports, what's in our sim is this is a true simulator game. So you go on Steam or Xbox and you can download our DRL game. And you are literally then, with your controller, learning how to fly a drone. So unlike some other social or casual games, you know, my kids play them all. They're on Madden, they're on FIFA. They don't walk out of the house and get drafted for a team. The difference is you put in the hours in our DRL sim and you can go outside and fly drones and then compete in our DRL season. So that really is the difference. And that's where, you know, we're really messaging about this component of our sport, that it's almost like a badge of honor. These are hard skills to learn. But here's the great news. You spend hours on our sim, just like, you know, people learning to fly planes and other types of aviation you know, areas is you put the hours in and you can walk outside and fly your drone. And that's, again, what's been so successful. We launched our first ever game on Xbox this fall, and we're going to be on other consoles and continue to iterate on this simulator game, because again, it is a training ground. And especially now with everyone at home during COVID, you're not able to go out to the normal locations around other people to safely be, you know, flying, but you can have the exact same experience, FPV with the goggles, you know, first person view that our championship pilots race.
And you can be as young as 16 now, right? That's recently changed, right? For the age.
So we're actually, you know, in 21, I think we've had, you know, sometimes I need our team to keep me honest because I wasn't there at day one, but we will be 18 plus that fly in our league kind of moving forward. But yes, we've had other tournaments because we do have different tournaments throughout the year. Like I said, feeder programs. And when you get to our championship racing series, our Allianz, program there, those pilots are 18 plus.
So it's the minor leagues then, right? The minor leagues of the DRL that you can compete at a younger age. You mentioned how your kids love video games. And what are some of the skills that the drone pilots are learning that you feel transfer into maybe other areas?
Yeah, I mean, definitely when you think about the discipline and the training that goes into being a professional drone pilot, you have to use that mental capacity. And, you know, our sport is a different level of physical activity. So trust me, like, we are monitoring heart rates. They are spending hours a day training, but it's a different type of sweat, I would say, than maybe, seeing James Harden running up and down the court. But it's definitely transferable. It's like any sport when you think about organization and discipline and just, you know, the mindset of having that competitive spirit, because there are people all around the world right now that are on our DRL sim competing for those 12 spots to fly in our championship race. So they have to be experts, you know, at this craft and skill. And it is, again, that, you know, mental focus of what I've heard from so many of the pilots. You know, they love adventure and outdoors and, you know, scaling buildings and rock climbing and racing. Those are all these other attributes that our pilots do have. So much of it is transferable to success in other areas of their lives. Like I said, Gab 707, he has a PhD. So he's out there solving some of the most challenging, you know, problems in the world in physics right now.
You're listening to Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest is the president of the DRL, the Drone Racing League, Rachel Jacobson. The league is so hot and DRL is so exciting that former NBA superstar Chris Bosh had to get involved.
Hey, everybody. I'm Chris Bosh, two-time champ and 11-time NBA All-Star. Now, I'm the DRL Academy Dean. Nice to meet you. I love sports and technology. And drone racing is the best sport to combine my two passions. Through DRL Academy, you'll learn about some of my favorite subjects like engineering, physics, robotics, aerodynamics, and more. All through the thrill of high-speed drone racing.
How fast does a drone go?
We've got two-time DRL champion Jet bringing us up to speed.
Bringing us up to speed!
What happens when drones crash?
Drones definitely crash, especially when we're racing hard. We crash all the time.
What's up with those drone racing goggles?
The goggles are for FPV, first person view.
Time to fly.
Check out the DRL Academy at drl.io.
Was it your connection with the NBA that suddenly Chris Bosh becomes the dean of the DRL Academy? He's so excited because he loves technology, he loves sports, And much like you, he put it all together. Was that connection because of your background in the NBA?
Ah, oh, you figured it out. No, my team gets to take all that credit. Melanie Wallner, our head of PR, she had her sights set on, you know, what we'll call a celebrity dean a bit before I came. And I think it was the perfect storm of having the MBA background and really knowing that if you have that authentic, you know, individual that's going to inspire, as you said, while Chris is a NBA champion and an all-star, he's also coming out of Georgia Tech, as well as he's a dad of five. So he is excited about technology and he wants, you know, his children really going into these other fields that may not be athletics. So yeah, that's what you'll see us doing is really intersecting what we do here. There's so much crossover with professional athletes, whether they're NBA, golfers, Major League Baseball. We have heard from all of them. They love drones because when they're not doing that other thing, you know, that makes them so good in an athlete, they love technology. So, you know, so much good stuff on the horizon when we think about flying around golf courses or bringing our drones to different types of all-star events and weekends. There is that just collaboration inherent in our sport because we have brought in a younger audience. We can contemporize other sports that may have great legacy, but they're just, you know, trying to bridge the gap with a younger generation.
You mentioned collaboration, and when it comes to partnerships, you've been at the forefront from all your experience in the NBA of creating these partnerships now, T-Mobile and Body Armor, all part of the DRL Now's family. And tell us how exciting that's been for you.
So exciting. So partnerships for me goes like way back to my early stages at the NBA where I had been working on marketing programs for the league. And one thing led to another. I was managing accounts and there was this great all-star weekend event that came up for renewal. And essentially I went to my partner at the time and I said, what do you think about the 3-point shootout? And it was like my first $1 million deal. And the business development team said, we should have her on the front lines all the time, you know, representing the brand. So for me, really early on, it was about what is important to companies, not just here's something I have to sell. And like, I only know how to build, you know, successful, thoughtful relationships. So really, it doesn't seem like sales to me. It's much more consultative about, you know, working with companies about what's going to make them more marketable. You know, what are they focused on and how do I bring them the right assets and opportunities where the equation is so much stronger with us working together. So, you know, that's been my mentality from day one coming to DRL. And we have brought in just, you know, unbelievable marketers, which also is critically important for us growing our sport where these are Fortune 500 companies. They are some of the best marketers in the world. They know how to talk with millions of people about, you know, our sport and other things that they're doing. So it's been incredibly exciting. And the fact that they know we unlock for them this elusive demographic of a younger tech savvy generation. They're really leaning in and figuring out, you know, what more and exciting programs we can do together and how we actually bring our sport to some other things in their portfolio.
We started off this conversation and talking about how your dad kind of introduced you to sports at a young age. What's your family think now that you're one of the first female presidents of a sports league?
They're very proud. So, you know, I grew up with my parents always supporting me, being my biggest cheerleaders. And
even you when know, you were a cheerleader.
Even when I was a cheerleader. and, you know, they knew I just had this incredible drive throughout my life in general, you know, like I said, not accepting no and, you know, making sure that I would have the work ethic for things, you know, to maybe go in my favor, but it didn't come easy. You know, I had to put that hard work in. So when this opportunity presented itself, I knew that there was a lot more than just the title of me being a woman and now being in, you know, really a elite group that are leading global organizations. There was, you know, some pressure on that, but some huge opportunity. And, you know, when I told them about it and just felt like it was the perfect storm of my skills and the right timing, it's been such a bright light during these last 8 months during COVID when we haven't gotten to see each other so much. For them to be able to tune in to shows like this and get a sense of how excited I am and how much their support has meant to me throughout this journey, because, you know, it's a juggle like anything. It's the kids, it's two working parents, you know, in a time that's been so challenging and stressful, knowing that they're behind me 1,000% has been, you know, incredible.
I've asked this to a few guests. What's been the most interesting or challenging conversation you've had with your twins about COVID, most likely, you know, during this time?
I think for us, it's been, my twins are 11, so I'm not dealing with the babies, but, you know, this is hard. This is on Zoom with friends and not doing everything that you were supposed to do with the sports teams. And I think the hard conversation was just, we need you all to be, you know, not just grateful for everything that, you know, we have right now, our safety, our health, but we need you to also be understanding, you know, to mom and dad that things are going to look a little different and we're not going to let it get us down. But to have that positive attitude probably is just with 11-year-olds a little bit harder than having these conversations that I have with adults. Sure. But they've been so resilient, Doug. It's, you know, the family time has been invaluable. And, you know, we're just going to the glass is half full and continuing to make the best of this. And we know that we're all going to come out stronger. And we just have wanted, you know, the health and safety of everyone around us. And that's why we've been, you know, so, you know, stringent in terms of staying home and kind of our four-person unit these past several months. And, you know, I look forward to my parents and siblings being vaccinated where we can all come back together again and, you know, celebrate and be at some upcoming drone races when we think about what 21 has in store for us.
Could there ever be a drone race? I guess it would be too tiny at Monmouth Park.
Oh, well now, Doug, don't get me started. Don't get me started. More to come. We can tease that out as we're wrapping.
And speaking of, you know, more to come, tell us again about the 26th and the 30th where people can check out these races.
Yeah. So the 26th and the 30th, we have level 15 and 16, our final two races. So the championship race on the 30th is on NBC. It streams on our DRL Twitter, and you can watch on Facebook Live, 4:30 to 6 p.m. And then on the 26th, we're going to do the first ever kind of all digital takeover. So it's going to be streaming in a number of locations that we're actually going to be announcing probably in the next 48 hours.
So it really shows how this sport has really caught on and just the fandom that's connected to it. We have tens of millions of fans, right? That are following this drone racing.
All over the world, you know, from China to India to Europe. And, you know, I want to bring this to them so they have that courtside seat as we think about the next several years and beyond.
It's been such a pleasure to sit down and talk to you, even though it's virtual. I feel like now that we know more about the kids, we know more about the family, that we know so much more about Rachel Jacobson and why you are one of the few female presidents of a sports league. I'm sure, as you mentioned, your family is so proud of you. And as a Jersey girl, all the people that are listening in Jersey, they're proud of you too. Music? Any music before we let you go that you're a music fan of?
Oh, I love country.
Country.
Country and Broadway.
Oh, now you're talking.
You see a little bit of an actress side in me, right?
That's right. So what was the first Broadway show you ever saw?
Oh, my goodness. This goes way, way back. My parents would bring us every year to Broadway, but I don't know what my first one was. I mean, we saw so many early on. I mean, I don't think it was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dream. I don't think it was that. I might have to get back to you, Doug, if your listeners really want to uncover what the first one was. I know my mom will remember that for sure.
Well, I can tell you that the first Broadway show that I took my daughter to was Wicked. And to this day,
I love Wicked. I went three times.
She knows still to this day, she's a teacher. She's 28 now, and she knows every line of every song still.
For so, good. Tell her For Good is my favorite.
It's one of
ours. Belting it out, my daughter and I. Mm-hmm.
I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most grow if we let them, and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew you. Like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes a sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? I knew you. I have been changed for good.
I would ask you to sing that, but
you'll get my daughter on, Lily, 11-year-old. Yeah, she's got the music genes. I definitely, that they skipped over me.
Fantastic. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Jam and continued success with the DRL.
Thanks so much. It was so great to meet you.
Likewise. Have a great day.
You too.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. I can't help thinking the song For Good could have been a conversation between the late Commissioner David Stern and Rachel Jacobson. Thanks going out this week to Joe Favorito and Melanie Wallner for their help in this show. You can find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts and on iTunes. You can hear all the shows by going to wbgo.org/sportsjam. Until our next Sports Jam session, I will hopefully see you at the game.